It's the Cab Chat Show with Super Cabby. He's a right cool blimey geezer.
People, yes, it's Captcha time. We hope that you listen in because the show is fine. Our team are all assembled. I'm sitting in their places. You recognize their voices, but you're better than their faces.
Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
Yes, we're back. It's the Cab Chat Show with me, Super Cabby, at the controls. In this week's show, we're going to be talking about the magical taxi tour to Disneyland in Paris. Recap Dan is going to be talking about the new Nissan Dynamo taxi. And Drumslayer comes along with his regular contribution. All that after this.
On your phone, iPad, tablet, and the internet. Cab Chat Radio Show.
So, some of the team, namely Recap Dan, Jason Cron, and Chris Bocab, and myself, took part in the magical taxi tour to Disneyland in Paris. Now, if you don't know what it is, it's a trip which takes children with life-limiting illnesses on a trip of a lifetime to Disneyland in Paris in about 100 taxis. Now, these children would not normally otherwise be able to go on a trip like this due to their parents being scared to take them abroad because of the medical backup that they need and the medication that they need. And a lot of parents are really worried about taking their children over to Disneyland in Paris, and for some of these children it's the only trip that they ever really get to take. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So the Magical Taxi Tour to Disneyland in Paris is organised by the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers. It costs around £140,000 every year to put this trip on, put this event on. And most of the money is raised through donations and through sponsorship of the taxis. It costs £1,400 to sponsor a taxi to take part in the trip to Disneyland in Paris. And all of the drivers give their time free of charge. Now, it starts for the drivers when they get asked in January of the year whether they would like to take part in the trip. And for those that have asked in the past how you get on the Disney trip, basically, preference is given to members of the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers. So, firstly, an offer goes out to all the members of the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers, offering them or asking them whether they would like to take part in the trip. After that, it goes out to drivers that are not members that have done the trip before. And then after that, it's thrown open to anyone that is available if the places are not filled. Normally, they are filled, it's oversubscribed, but there is always drivers that pull out or through one reason or another, through illness, through problems during the year, and places become available for drivers to take part. So if you want to be able to take part in the Magical Taxi Tour at Disneyland, then the easiest way is to join the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers. Now, the week, or the whole thing really starts the week before the trip, when the drivers' briefing meeting takes place, of which all drivers have to attend, which is held in Harry's Bar at Millwall Football Club, who kindly allow the use of their facilities, which is really great. And all the drivers are given a briefing and told where they're going to be picking up their family. The trip takes various hospitals from around London, Great Ormond Street, the Royal London, Chase Farm, East Surrey, the Royal Marsden, King's College, and a couple of others. And the drivers are told where they're going to be picking up from. Some drivers pick up their families from home. And then the following week, on the Thursday before we leave for Disneyland, all of the drivers have to go to the NSL Test Centre in Canning Town to have their sponsors' stickers applied to their taxis, and to pick up their ferry tickets and lunch vouchers for the return trip on the ferry. After that, it's home to bed for an early night, and then a very early start on the Friday morning. For me, it was 3:30 in the morning when I had to get up, and, well, I left home at 3:30, so I got up at 3:00 to get down to King's College Hospital, where I was the coordinator, and I was the first one there to make sure that all of the taxis picked up their families, and then leave for Canary Wharf for the big breakfast, which is held at the East Winter Gardens at Canary Wharf, where all of the taxis line up. Everybody goes in to the East Winter Gardens, has breakfast, a speech by the Master of the Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers and the Lord Mayor of London, before leaving Canary Wharf bound for Dover. The convoy is escorted by the City of London Police and the French gendarmes, who come over on the Thursday before, all the way down to Dover, where we catch our P&O ferry, which is kindly donated by P&O, and over to Calais. Once over in Calais, the City of London Police and the French gendarmes continue to convoy, to escort the convoy down to the first fuel stop. The convoy consists of around 120 vehicles, 3 or 4 ambulances, a few paramedic cars, a couple of AA vans, an AA truck, police cars, police motorcycles, a chuck wagon, plus convoy escort vehicles, and of course about 100 taxis. So at any one point it can stretch up to 5 or 6 miles when travelling along the road. So at the first fuel stop on the way down at Aston Villa, all the taxis are refuelled, whether they're diesel or whether they're electric and need petrol, and then off down to Disneyland in Paris, where we arrive around about 7:00. And then off to dinner for the evening. And of course, the Saturday's the main day. We'll come to that in a minute. But first, we're going to go over to our recap Dan, where he's going to be talking about the new Nissan Dynamo taxi. Over to you, Dan.
And now it's Recap Dan from Plan. He's the man.
Thanks for that, Jamie. Hi, guys. It's Dan at Plan. I hope everyone is well. So today I am in northwest London somewhere, a secret location. And today I am joined by my guest, John from Dynamo Taxis. Hello, John.
Good afternoon, Dan. Thank you for inviting me on.
It's a nice sunny day, isn't it?
It's beautiful. It always is up here in Colindale. It's even better when we're getting all these customers in looking at Dynamo, I have to tell you.
So, I guess, tell the listeners about Dynamo Taxi. What's the journey been? Because I met you guys about, what, 2-3 years ago at Milton Keynes, and it's been a long process from what I can understand.
So my boss, Brendan O'Toole, had this vision to be the first person to put the first all-electric, side wheelchair accessible, 100% electric, as I say, Hackney carriage into the UK market.
Is he a sane man? Is he all right, really?
Yeah, he's Irish, and he has a much wider vision of going forward than perhaps most other people I've met.
Okay,
but he's stuck through this project through thick and thin, through the most difficult periods at all, because he absolutely believes in it.
So, how long has it been going for now? How long has this project been going
this
on for?
This project, the inception was 2000, towards the end of 2014.
Okay.
And he's sunk an awful lot of money and an awful lot of his own time into the project to get it to where it is today. Without him, there would be no taxi. There's no question about that.
And then last week, the first one was registered.
Yeah, it was a massive moment in the history of Dynamo Motor Company, albeit a short history, that the first vehicle was passed in Canning Town. We actually went for some lunch afterwards to celebrate.
Nice. Anywhere nice? Where did you go? Somewhere posh or just...
No. We're not posh people. We're the most grounded people you're ever likely to come across. We were going to go to a yacht haven place in Canary Wharf, and we looked at it and it looked far too expensive. So we went across the road to a pub called The Fox.
Okay.
And it was lovely.
Nice. So what's the journey been then? So from what I understand, I met you Milton Keynes several years ago now. It feels like forever. You had to go and get the vehicle, was it M1 approved, category M1 approved?
Yeah, yeah. So
what does that involve?
Initially when I first joined, to answer your question about the journey, I've never been so abused by a group of people in my whole life. And it's luckily I have long trousers and broad shoulders because I was able to take it. Because not many people could see what I could see. And my background was to develop markets. And my job with Dynamo was to develop the market. And I thought, have I bitten off a bit more than I could chew here? But we all persevered with it. And slowly but surely, the consensus of opinion went round to it's something that Postman Pat would be seen happily to drive around into. Actually, I could ply my trade with this. And now we've had this huge swing around. And there is a very positive attitude towards it from the trade. Because they can see what we could always see now. They can finally see what we could see.
Yeah, so, I mean, going back to Postpath, I get what you say. I mean, I'm looking at a picture now on the wall over there, and the picture, I don't think, does it justice. Like, in the flesh, it looks much better than it does on
Absolutely.
The picture. I think that, anyway. Yeah. In the picture, it looks like a Nissan van, but in the flesh, I think it looks a lot better.
Yeah. So number one,
come and have a look.
Number one, it was never a van.
Yeah.
It was a 7-seater MPV people mover. We started with a blank sheet of paper, and we started with this vehicle to build it for the driver.
Yeah.
It's built for the driver, not for the passenger. A driver spends 9 or 10 hours a day driving his taxi, and a passenger spends 15 minutes in the back. So really, why would you put the whole emphasis on the passenger? So the vehicle we started with, the donor vehicle, was a Nissan Evalia ENV200, the Evalia being the top of the range. So the standard equipment in a Dynamo is cruise control, it's heated steering wheel, it's DAB radio. It's got every single thing a driver would ever wish to have in his vehicle. And because we built it for the driver in mind, we've moved the driver section slightly to the rear, meaning that if you're 6'5", you can comfortably sit in a Dynamo all day long without worrying about having a twisted back or bent knees or any other illnesses that I've heard that drivers have had associated with sitting in one place uncomfortably for many long hours.
Yeah, I have to say, I only moved it in this car park and around that, but the steering feels really light.
Yeah,
have you done anything different?
Yeah, well, we redesigned the front steering to meet with London conditions of fitness turning circle. So all the steering is on the front wheels. It's not on the rear wheels at all.
Yeah.
The common feedback from the drivers is the visibility is superb. The performance, the comfort, it's all about the driver, and that's the feedback we've been getting. Not to mention the cost of typically running a TX diesel is about £25. in diesel for every 100 miles they travel. On a dynamo, on a home charger, it's between £2.50 and £3. So it's 10 times cheaper than running a diesel taxi.
Nice.
Now, whether you like the shape of the dynamo, whether you don't like the shape of the dynamo, what you will like is the comfort aspect and the drivability, but more importantly, these savings you'll see from day one. There's not a long-term saving. You'll see it today, tomorrow, and the next day.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, talking about the driver, you said about the driving. When I drove it, it does feel like a nice place to be and really comfortable to drive. So, yes, it's nice.
That's the feedback we're getting, Dan. Yeah. That's exactly the feedback we're getting from drivers to say, what a lovely... I'm quite happy to do a shift in this.
Yeah.
And more importantly, as well as the vehicle running costs, the daily running costs, talking to many drivers, it's not unusual for a driver to spend between £1,500 and £2,500 a year on maintenance and service.
Yeah.
The dynamo, it's £90 for a service every 18,000 miles. So, you know, whichever way you look at it, like it or loathe it, the dynamo works on every aspect.
Yeah. Okay, nice. This is what I get asked all the time. Two questions I get asked. How much does it cost to insure it, Dan? I mean, we've had phone calls already about it, which we'll cover a plan insurance, we'll cover on our blogs. We've got set up a special electric taxi page. But I was sitting here today talking about John, we were discussing insurance costs. It's very comparable to your TX4s. It's not going to be as much as the LEVC, which I'll get onto in a bit, but it's very comparable to your TX4s. But the other question I get asked is, how much is it?
So, right. Okay,
if I come in here today, John, how much have I got to pay for this?
Right. Okay, the vehicle, the retail price for the Dynamo is £55,495. Offset against that is a grant of £7,500.
Yeah.
That brings the purchase price, as far as the taxi industry are concerned, to £47,995.
Okay, nice. And what does that come with it? You mentioned manufacturer breakdown, is that correct?
Yes, that comes with a three-year manufacturer's warranty, 60,000 mile, 100,000 mile battery warranty, which is... which you can extend to 150,000 miles, and quite frankly, this is a Nissan that's been globally tested. There is no data anywhere for batteries that have failed within Nissan.
Okay, nice. So again, the other question is, talking about batteries, it was quite big. When the LEVC came out, a lot of drivers were saying, well, how much it costs to replace a battery? Everyone got this, was really scared about their battery going wrong or running out, or
we get that
fading.
All the time down as well.
So, what's the deal on the battery life?
Okay,
what should the driver expect?
So there is no data for battery replacement cost.
Yeah.
Talking to senior engineers, senior management within Nissan, and other car manufacturers, they're all saying that electric vehicles right now are in the same place as buying a smart television was a few years ago. Quite expensive.
Yeah.
Right now, you can go to any Asda and buy a smart television for just a few £100. And this is the way electric vehicles are going to go in the future. When everybody's got them, when the whole market has got them, the deals around will be the same as petrol and diesel deals have been for many, many years, because the price of the battery will come tumbling down.
Yeah. And it's like any other technology.
It's like any other technology. Yeah. So the price will come tumbling down. So we're expecting that to happen over the years. That, you know, we don't know what a replacement battery is going to cost at the moment because there's no data to support it.
And in terms of, so we could talk about this all day, but you've got things to do, we've got things to do. But so if a driver wants to come and see this, when are you open? What days of the week are you open? Where are you? Where are you located?
So we are located, our London stockist is Northwest EV Limited. Their address is 12 Carlisle Road in Colindale. That's NW90HD 0208 206 0330 and ask for Paula.
Okay, so Paula runs the show when you're
Paula
not here.
Paula runs it here. Paula's our London stockist. I'm John Heath. I work for Dynamo Motor Company. I'm here helping Paula to get set up.
Okay.
Once we're set up here, I should be moving myself on to road showing around the rest of the UK. Okay.
And then what days is Paula open here?
Paula open here from Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. It's best to ring first to book a test drive.
Excuse me. No worries.
It's best to ring first to book a test drive because she does get very busy here.
Yeah, I mean, I've been sat here, we've been here, what, an hour now, I guess? and it's been quite busy. I mean, I've seen several drivers walk in, and Paul has popped in and out doing quite a few test drives.
Yeah, there is. You know, we have drivers on our Twitter page prejudging this taxi completely. They've not seen it, they've not been in it, they've not anything, and they've decided they don't want to purchase one.
Yeah.
I find that quite strange. Whilst we acknowledge that Dynamo is not for everybody, all it is a choice out in the market that right now you guys don't have. Now, if you take the taxi away from the driver, they haven't got anything.
Yeah.
Now, if a new taxi comes to the market that wasn't there before, the taxi driver owes it to himself to come and have a look at it. If he subsequently decides it's not for him, he's made a proper decision based on facts. We're not going to give him best case scenario for a taxi. We're going to tell him what it can do, and more importantly, what it can't do, so he can make a decision, an informed decision, having had the facts before him. But to prejudge it on social media when they've not even seen it, I'm quite staggered by it, I have to say.
It doesn't cost you to come and have a look, does
nothing.
It? I would strongly urge drivers to come and have a look, because it is, as I mentioned a bit earlier on, when you look at the pictures online and on Twitter and all that type of stuff, I'm not going to lie to you, it does look a bit post and patty, right? But in the flesh, when I'm here looking at it, it does look nice. It looks much better in the flesh. I quite like it.
And when we took it to the public, Dan, which of course is where these guys are operating from, that's the acid test.
Yeah.
The one thing they liked about it, and the reason it's written on there that it says 100% electric on the side, is because the public wanted to be part of the future. Mm-hmm. They want to be seen to be getting into an electric taxi because it says electric on the side. They associate it with themselves recycling their bins at home. So they put the green in the green bin because they feel they're doing their bit for the environment. And getting into a taxi in a crowded street, they feel like they're doing their bit for the environment. And this was real feedback from real members of the public occasions.
Yeah, I've heard that, especially with drivers that are using the LEVC.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
Yeah, I've heard that there'll be when they're ranking up, punters will walk a couple of cars down just to get in the electric one. I don't know if it's because it's new, or it could be just because it's electric or whatever. Like you say, they might just want to appear like they're doing a bit of good.
I think there's a lot of that, Dan. Yeah. And also, it's quite exciting. What does it feel? You know, and youngsters, anybody, you know, they want to be part of the future going forward. They don't want to be associated with the past. And sadly, the diesel taxis, they're coming near to the end of their life and they are associated with the past.
Mm. Yeah. Talking about electric and driving, I think another thing that I think that Pete drivers should come here and talk to you guys about is driving styles.
Yes. Now, what we're trying to put out, Lee and Paula, what they're trying to put out is what we're promoting is the Dynamo experience. Mm-hmm. We want to give the same experience to a driver as they would have going into any car dealership buying a vehicle. Yeah. And we recognise that electric is a whole new way of driving. So part of the Dynamo experience is the handover on the day they pick the vehicle up. It will be at least an hour to show them how to drive it and get the best out of it. Yeah. And indeed, we may well put some incentives out going forward for the driver that gets the most out of their vehicles.
Yeah.
We're not promoting best case scenario and in an ideal world and all of that. We'll let the drivers decide for themselves how they're going to get out of this vehicle, how much, and we're going to show them how to do it.
Yeah, sounds really good.
But it will work for 95% of drivers. They won't need to roadside charge hardly at all.
Well, I won't ask you more. I'll let the drivers come and see
you last question. Please do, Dan. Yeah.
So before I sign off, I mentioned to John earlier, I do my fact or fiction. So Johnny's got to come up with one. So John's got his fact or fiction. So he's going to give you a fact or fiction question. We'll break and then we'll come back to you shortly. So when you're ready, John, go for your fact or fiction.
Okay, so my father's name was William, and he's English. If my father was born in Ireland and he was Irish and he was christened William, would he be called Bill or would he be called Liam? We think he'd be called Liam. Is that true or false?
Okay, super. All right, so you won't know this, John, because I'm just about to spring this on you. The people at CabChat call me Recap Dan, because I recap a lot of stuff.
Okay, recap.
Recap, Dan, yeah. So I'll recap John's question. So his question, his fact or fiction was, if your name's William and you're born in Ireland, are you referred to as Liam or Bill? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so there we go. So You'll find out.
That's
after
not true or false. That's a which one.
Yeah, which, it should have been a fact or fiction. Yeah. But you get where we're going.
Yeah. So we know what you do.
So I'll hand you back to Jamie in the studio, and I'll come back to you guys shortly.
You knew the way.
Don't blame me, mister. Blame the sat-nav. I haven't done the knowledge.
If possible, make a U-turn.
Don't worry, mister. I'll get you there. Eventually.
Bah! I'm gonna miss my job interview.
No worries. I can get you a job on my minicab app. You got your own sat-nav?
If possible, make a U-turn.
Don't take a chance. Take a licensed black cab.
We apologise for the late running of the 1824 service. This will now depart at 1918 due to driver shortage.
Taxi! Taxi!
For those times when taxis aren't readily available, it's nice to know that technology and software is here to make our lives run more smoothly. Taxi App UK does just that. Download the app to your smartphone from Google Play or the App Store, or log on to taxiapp.uk.com. And next time you need a taxi, just click the Taxi App UK icon. Book and pay with several payment options available, including cash, credit card, and through the app. Taxi App UK is free to download and use and available across the whole of London. Founded, funded, and owned by London's black cab drivers. Taxi App UK, powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
We want some extra listeners, because we think we are great. So if you like our station, then please go tell a mate. If you can get some of your pals to tune into our show, we promise we will have a day with ginger nuts and cocoa.
Oh, I do love ginger nuts.
The Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
So this year's trip to Disneyland in Paris was the 26th annual trip to Disneyland. Started in 1994, and I've been doing it since the year 2000, when I took a young lady and her mum, and never got rid of them. That was an expensive year. Anyway, the Saturday morning, everyone gets up early and goes to breakfast, then off to the Disneyland park for fun and frolics on all the rides. And if you've never done this trip, you wouldn't realise the joy it brings to the children that actually get to go on a trip. It's fantastic, it's very humbling, and it does send a bit of a tingle down the back of your spine when you see the smiles on the children's faces when they actually realise they're at Disneyland. It really is something to see and something to experience, to be honest. It's something you can't really describe, to be honest. But anyway, the children go over to the Disneyland park where they enjoy the rides, and one of the things that they're allowed to do is they bypass the queues and they go to the exit and basically get on without queuing, which is great, because obviously this short period of time that we're actually there, it allows them to get on as many rides as possible in a day. And obviously this year the weather was good, so everyone made the most of their time in the park. On the Saturday night, we have a grand gala party for the children in what normally is the New York Hotel, but it was under refurbishment this year. So we was in the Newport Bay Hotel this year. And the children are treated to a meal, and some of the adults, everybody sits down, and obviously the Disney characters come along and they're treated to a disco, which I do. And by the end of the night, they're absolutely shattered, but have really enjoyed themselves. Now, as many of you know now, I run the Facebook page, so all the videos that were going out on Facebook of the trip from the taxi, the party on the Saturday night, on in the rides, the pictures and everything else, was taken by me or a couple of other people. Dan from Plan was helping this year. And when you see the messages that come back from the parents explaining what this weekend actually meant to their children, it does sometimes bring a bit of a tear to your eye, and it makes you realise how worthwhile this trip actually is, and how worthwhile the whole event is. It really does make a difference to these children's lives. And if you go and read some of the comments on the Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/magicaltaxitour, you'll realise that it really does make a difference to a lot of these children. And unfortunately, some of the children never get to go on another trip because their illness, unfortunately, shortens their life. And for some, that's the lasting memory that they have, that they take with them. Some of the messages that come through are sort of private, you know, private messages that are sent as messages, not as posts on the Facebook page. And I really do wish that we could share them all with all of the drivers, because there really is some really, not heart-wrenching, but heartwarming messages there from parents. And it really is a worthwhile thing. After the party on a Saturday night, everyone goes home and obviously goes to bed. And then on a Sunday morning, we all get up and start making our way back. The way we came, really. We leave Disneyland in Paris at 9 a.m. and head down towards the fuel stop at Assomvillia. Onto the P&O ferry, where everyone is given a £10 voucher for food. And then once we get off the ferry at Dover, that's where the police escort ends, and everyone either makes their way back to the hospitals or drops the family at home or wherever they need to go, really. And there's a lot of people that need to be thanked for helping on the Disney trip. The London Ambulance Service, who do an absolutely fantastic job and are basically on call 24 hours a day for the whole weekend. The City of London Police, who do a fantastic job of escorting the convoy all the way there and all the way back. The French gendarmes, who come over and help to escort the convoy down to Disneyland in Paris and back to Calais again. The AA, who provide support on the trip on the way down there. The organising committee, who work tirelessly throughout the year to make sure that the trip takes place every year. And last but by all means not least, all of the drivers that give their time and the use of their taxis free of charge. Everybody that takes part in this trip needs a good pat on the back. You know, it's not just one day you're giving up. It's basically, you have to, especially if you're a night worker, it's, you know, you've got to get up early on the Thursday to go to NSL to have the stickers put on the cab. So really, you lose Wednesday night, you lose Thursday, you lose Friday, you lose Saturday, you lose Sunday. And normally by the time you get back, you're so tired, you lose Monday as well. So you're talking about 6 days in all to do this trip. And I think the same goes for the drivers that take part in the taxi charity outings, the ones that go over to Holland and Normandy and places like that. You know, hats off to everybody that does it. It's a big commitment to give that much time to any charity, and any driver that does so, I think, is a salt of the earth, to be honest with you. Anyway, we're going to go over to our drum slayer for his contribution this week, and then I'll be back to explain a couple of things after this.
And now, here's Drum Slayer.
Hello all, Drum Slayer's back. By all accounts, August was, and this seems to be unanimous, the busiest August ever. Now, I only worked half of August. The other half, I was entertaining my granddaughter. But I did notice, while on our visits to the West End, how busy it was. I literally, one day, stood on Oxford Street by Great Portland Street and could not see a cab for hire for love nor money. People, the public, were actually hailing down rickshaws. They were so desperate to get around. But I did notice quite a few Ubers driving around empty. Another reason I'm a little bit chipper is I've just gone a whole month without doing an app job. I've managed to kick my originally Halo, then my taxi, now free now. I've managed to kick the app addiction. And I have to tell all you addicts out there, there is life after apps. The time I did work in August, I got by very nicely, thank you. I'm sure when Free Now decided to put their commission up to 15% on August the 1st, they didn't dream how busy August was going to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of their work was not covered. I mean, why would you cover work, pay 15%, when there are hands going up all over the place in central London? So why was August so exceptional? Well, there's possibly two reasons. One, the pound is at a 20-year low, obviously to do with Brexit uncertainty, but it certainly attracted tourists from far and away to come to London and get some bargains. And taxi rides being very well priced. The other reason, I'm sorry to say, could be decommissioning. So while there was plenty of drivers out there making hay, let's spare a thought for the approximately 3,000 drivers out there that don't have a cab. And I've heard stories of drivers having cabs on a week-to-week basis. One week they've got a cab, and the governor says, sorry, I've got to give it to somebody else for a week. Give me a call at the end of the week. You might be able to get it back next week. I've heard stories of cab drivers who have not been well and have come back to work and were promised there'd be a cab for them from garages they had been driving for 4 years, only to be told that the cabs had been decommissioned, therefore they would have to go elsewhere. And some drivers have just called it a day and retired. It's a very sad state of affairs. Tell you what I've noticed of late. Westfields. When I get to a Holland Park Circus, obviously I go up the motorway bit, can't remember the name of it, and enter from there. But I've noticed some drivers go towards Shepherd's Bush Green and do the right into Westfields where the buses go. Now, I would have thought that was illegal. So
if anybody can help me with that, is it okay or not? Because it's a very attractive route to use, and it's less complicated than going from off the motorway section.
Talking of motorways, I've got a story to tell you. Tuesday, the 6th of August, round about 3:18 p.m. I'm on the South Bank by the National Theatre, and a couple hail me and they say, Doubletree Hilton, the airport. So in my mind's eye, I see, yeah, Bath Road, Doubletree Hilton, not a problem. So off I go. I don't make any communication with them. Everything's going well. And I'm on the M4, just before the turn off for Terminal 4. And all of a sudden, there's banging on my partition window. And I hear the guy saying, E16, E16. Straight away, I realised there had been a mix-up. Of course, the Doubletree Hilton Festoon Way Excel Centre. I said to the fella, don't worry, luckily you've told me in time, I can turn off here, go around the roundabout, come back on the M4, and we will proceed to E16. I think you'll all agree, I had a bit of a problem. There was a good chance of me being very, very much out of pocket. So I said to this fella, if you'd wanted Gatwick Airport, what would you ask for? And he said, Gatwick Airport. If you wanted Stansted Airport, you would have asked for Stansted Airport. If you wanted Southend Airport, what would you have asked for? You would have asked for Southend Airport. If you wanted Luton Airport, you would have asked for Luton Airport. So when you just ask for airport, to me, it just means Heathrow. Now, I wish you'd asked for the Marriott, because then I would have said, well, which Marriott would you want? There's about three at Heathrow. And you probably would have said, what are you talking about Heathrow for? I want the Marriott somewhere else. But because there's only, to my knowledge, one Doubletree Hilton at Heathrow, that's where I made off. So he says to me, well, I'm sorry, I thought there was only one airport in London. And he thought that was a city airport. And strictly speaking, the city airport is the only airport in London, because all the others are on the periphery of London. They're out of London. So I tell the man, sir, this is down to you. If I make a cock-up, then I'm willing to compromise. But this one is down to you. You didn't give me enough information. Now, we know that perhaps I should have said, is that Heathrow Airport? Thankfully, he's a decent person and he owns up to the mistake. And he says, well, thankfully, I can afford it. Apparently, born in Brazil, emigrated to the States when he was about 16. He's got a maintenance business. Thanks to President Trump, he's been able to employ another 25 people and all's good. And he was with his young lover. Well, by the way they were holding each other, it certainly wasn't his daughter. So we had a chat and bonded and all was well. Now, as we are coming over the Hammersmith flyover and onto Cromwell Road, he says to me, are there any shopping malls around here? My girlfriend fancies purchasing some Gucci products. And I said, well, of course, we're very close to Westfield. And one of my mates said, yeah, why didn't you take him to Westfield Stratford? Yeah, cruel that. But no, I said, there's a Westfield here, just to the left of us, slightly north of us. And he said, take me there. Took him there. Now, by the time I got him there, the bill was £111. He didn't bat an eyelid, asked to pay by card, and to my astonishment, he made it £123. What a start to that shift that was. But I've learned a lesson, and from now on, I will not take anything that comes out of my partner's mouths for granted, and will double check. Let's now go to something a little bit more prosaic. The new change taxi rank. Beware, apparently it starts 7 p.m. Any driver parking there and leaving their cab unattended may receive a penalty charge notice. I'm told out of hours, that taxi rank
is counted as a yellow line. While recently stewing in the King's Cross rank, I was approached by a man handing out flyers called Chris Pierce. The flyers were for their new app called Tapper. Chris Pierce himself is registered in Company's House as one of the founders of Tapper. I've heard he's a yellow badge driver. I think Tapper started as a yellow badge app. And he proceeded to tell me about this app. He said, 8% commission. They're offering shares to drivers. It's not a cooperative like taxi app. Tapper is privately funded by family and friends. I took no joy in hearing that Tapper does not use our taxi meter. They charge through your smartphone. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, just like Uber. So therefore, Tapper are gonna turn us into private hire. So Chris says, you turn your meter off. Our fares on Tapper about 5% above the meter. Yet, a driver told me, who's actually done a job for them, that he put his meter on out of curiosity while the smartphone was running, and the fare came in ever so slightly under the meter, around about 40 or 60 pence. Now, that is neither here or there, but we go on the knowledge for many a year and ply our trade to work off a meter. That's what we're qualified to do, not be minicabs. So for me, everybody, and obviously you've got to do what you think right for your business, but for me, Tapper is a no-no. Lastly, I finish with a cautionary tale. A friend of mine, somebody I've done martial arts with, passed away on Friday, the 16th of August. What makes his demise more tragic is the fact that Tony Maguire was only 52 years old. He was a fit man. He'd only been doing Krav Maga about a week before. Yet, suddenly, he collapsed at home, bleeding on the brain, rushed to hospital. Operation followed. Operation was deemed successful. Then, soon after, unfortunately, Tony began to lose consciousness. The result of a quick emergency scan was that Tony was bleeding now on the other side of his brain, and the surgeons said they could not operate because there was very, very little chance of success, and Tony would most likely spend the rest of his life in a cabbage-like state. Wednesday the 14th of August, I was first alerted to Tony's predicament. I wasn't quite sure of the severity, so I took the liberty next morning of ringing his mobile. Bit cheeky, I know. Luckily, his eldest daughter answered, and she said to me, his death is inevitable. So I went to visit Tony that afternoon in Queen's Hospital, Romford. And the family very, very graciously gave me 15 minutes alone with him. Tony wouldn't have heard a word I was saying, but I was touching his arm, and hopefully he could feel the comfort of an old friend. The next day, his life support was turned off. This trade lost a good cabbie, very professional, been doing the job for over 20 years. But we have to learn a lesson from Tony's passing. Tony
officially died of a stroke, but between us, he died of exhaustion. He worked his butt off. He did it for the best reasons, like we all do. He wanted to put food on the table, and he wanted his wife and three daughters to have the best that he could provide, like any of us. But Tony, unfortunately, in his life, was beset with financial problems. Therefore, he always seemed to be behind and chasing it. So he would, as he called it, beast it. He would work 7 days a week, most of the time, but weekends, very long hours. The money he made was impressive, but eventually, all this torturous labour, especially as Tony actually didn't enjoy cab driving, took its toll. Tony, as I said, died of exhaustion, and in my humble opinion, TfL have been complicit in Tony's death. Just as they've been complicit in recent heart attacks in the trade, illnesses, ailments, and all the stress that we as a trade have had to put up with over the last 6 years, unfortunately, have taken their toll. But eventually we will have our day in court. So the lesson we have to learn, everybody, is put family before the bills. Let some good come out of Tony's passing. He was a great guy, he was a funny guy, and he never ever brought his troubles and problems to our social gatherings or our Krav Maga boxing training. Tony Maguire, gonna miss you. Rest in peace. To the rest of you, if the rest of the year we have left is anything like August, we shouldn't have much to worry about. Be lucky, all. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Right, welcome back. It's Dan at Plan again. Recap Dan. So I'm back still with John. And just to recap, John, I normally do this part as well. So just to recap, so if anyone's looking for insurance, make sure they mention Cab Chat when they phone us, because they get a discount. Also, if they want to go online and get insurance, make sure they use our Cab Chat website. So planinsurance.co.uk/Cab Chat. So, John, what was your fact or fiction?
Right, okay.
Recap it.
So, recap, Dan.
Yeah.
If I was born in England, as I was, or my father was, his name was William. If he was born in Ireland, he'd still be called William. Now, would he, in England, he'd be called Bill or Billy. In Ireland, he'd be called Liam. Is that true or false?
And the answer is?
True.
True. So apparently, if you're born in Ireland and your name's William, your nickname's Liam, or you get shortened to Liam. Bit like Richard gets shortened to Dick. I don't know why that is the case.
No, but that's I have no idea why that is. And I'm glad my name's not Richard.
Yeah. All right, before I sign off, anything you want to add, John?
No. My name's John Heath. I'm directly employed by Dynamo. You can access me via the website. Just ring me or send me an email, and I promise you I'll reply to every email that you have. I recognise that the emails that are questions, and the questions are you guys looking for more information, and my job is to give you that information so you can make an informed decision. So please, I welcome you all to contact me whenever you fancy.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for Dan.
Thank you for your time, John, and I'll speak to you guys soon. All the best.
So I think we owe you, the listener, an apology, because we haven't done a show for a couple of weeks, and I'll tell you for why. I come back from Disney full of the joys of spring, even though it wasn't spring, it was coming on to autumn, the end of the summer, and was all set to go, and, well, let's go back a bit before that. Before we went to Disney, I was all set to put a show out the week before, after we did the show at the LCDC offices, but basically I just didn't manage to find the time before going to Disneyland in Paris. So when we come back, I was all set to get the show out and get going again on a regular basis. And I was struck down with a cold and ended up having the week off work and could barely talk. And no one really wants to listen to someone talking like this, you know. I can't, you know, change, help you breathe more easily. And that sort of thing. So that basically knocked me for six for about 2 weeks. And it's only really this week that I've started feeling a little better. So that's the reason why there was no show for the last couple of weeks. Basically, no one would have wanted to have listened to it. And this show's very short. And I'll explain more about that in the next show.
Almost 1 million people have listened to our show. And now thanks to our podcast, even more will know. Cabby's our savior. His talent is a gift. His ego is downloadable, but you need extra bandwidth.
So you've been listening to the Cab Chat Show with me, Jamie, aka Super Cabby, at the controls. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for this week. I'd like to thank you for bearing with us and not deserting us while we was absent for the last couple of weeks. Thank you so much for downloading the show, and long may it continue. If you've got a friend that doesn't listen to the show, why don't they listen? Why haven't you told them about the show? Cab Chat is the longest running and most consistent taxi related podcast anywhere in the world. And also, due to the number of downloads we get every week, we are in the top 20% of podcasts anywhere in the world as well. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by various means. You can find all of the links to get in touch with us on our website, which is cabchat.london, or our Facebook page. You could do with a few more likes, which you can find at facebook.com/cabchat. We're on Twitter at cabchat, or Instagram at CabChatUK. Until next time, that's all we've got time for. Please be lucky out there on those mean streets. Earn well, stay safe, and have fun. See ya.